All right, if you turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. Matthew 2, 1 through 13. Please keep your hand here. We will be back. It is my text. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, quote, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until he came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him.'" Let's pray. Fathers, we will see there's two themes that run through this selection, but really through the whole New Testament. It's a theme of either rejection or recognition. Rejection or recognition. We will see that the Herod and even the people of Jerusalem rejected this idea that a new king of the Jews had been born. But the wise men, the Magi, they recognized that this indeed was something spectacular, that there has been born a new king of the Jews. So Lord, which is it? Are we among those who reject this newborn king, or are we among those who recognize what's going on here? So Lord, open our eyes to the truth of the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for that. Amen. Less than 100 years ago, there was a reigning king who had been born king. At birth, he was the king. His name was Alfonso XIII of Spain. And he had been king at his birth, since his birth. His father, who, you're not going to believe this, was named Alfonso XII, his father had died 6 months before Alfonso XIII was born. Immediately at birth, he became the king of Spain. So it is not unheard of for a newborn baby to be born a king from that moment. However, the situation that we read in Matthew chapter 2 is definitely one of a kind. There have always been two reactions to the concept of Christ as king. They are as old as the Roman Empire. Rejection or recognition? Rejection or recognition? We see both of them in our text. But it is a common theme that runs throughout the Gospels and the rest of the New Testament. Rejection or recognition? Well, first of all, Jesus was a king at his birth. Jesus was a king immediately upon his birth. Matthew 2, verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, so the birth had already happened some time back, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and came to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Again, this was shocking news to the present king of the Jews. He didn't know he was being replaced. He didn't realize that there had already been born a baby who was the king of the Jews. This idea of kingship is all over this text, this passage. We have King Herod. We have three kings, is what the Magi traditionally have been called. We three kings of Orient are. And then we have King Jesus. This idea of Jesus as king, however, was troubling. Like I said, verse 3. When Herod heard this, he was troubled. And notice, and all Jerusalem with him. It wasn't just Herod who was worried about his job. It was all of Jerusalem. What would this mean? That there was born a king of the Jews, that there was already a king of the Jews that had been born. They didn't want to come to grips with that concept, that there's another king, that God has a king, and he's not Roman. He's not a Roman king. And even today, we don't mind singing about a baby in the cradle. Much of the country will be okay if they listen to the radio and there's a song about, you know, a baby in a cradle. That's fine. Most people don't worry about that. But the king of all creation, the Lord of all creation, that is who this baby is. He was born king. However, Scripture was very clear on it. Verse 5. They said to him, in Bethlehem, again, this is the scribes, the chief priests, who Herod turned to say, hey, what is this about a Messiah? What's going on here? And they said, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Scripture was clear. There was going to be born at some point in Judea, in Bethlehem, a king. It was in Scripture. They knew where to look for the answer. Herod said, where's this king going to be born? What should we do about this? And they said, well, in Scripture, it says he'll be born in Bethlehem. But you notice, they didn't go see him, right? These are the chief priests. These are the scribes of Israel. And they just got this news that a king, their king, the king of the Jews, had been born. And did they go see him? No, they rejected the idea. It wasn't just Herod who rejected the idea. The chief priests, the scribes, the whole city of Jerusalem rejected the idea. So Herod and the people decided to reject the idea of this baby being born king. However, the three kings, if you will, the three kings of the Orient, they accepted it. They worshiped Christ, the new born king. They recognized who Jesus was. Verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him, the child. They opened their, then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So even though the people of Jerusalem rejected this idea of a newborn king, the three kings of the Orient, the Magi, the wise men, they recognized who Jesus was. And of course, verse 11, the great irony here is the kings are bowing down to the king, right? The kings are bowing down to the king. Yeah, there's all kinds of kings here. There's King Herod, there's the three kings, but there's the king, the baby Jesus. So from the moment of his birth, Jesus was king. Secondly, Jesus was a king at the beginning of his ministry. Okay? At the beginning of his ministry, he was already king, John 1:49. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, now he's talking to Jesus, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel. So right at the beginning, he's just now calling his disciples. He's just now revealing himself. And Nathanael recognized that Jesus is king. The Old Testament, the law, the prophets point to Jesus as king. Nathanael said that earlier in John 1. He said, this is the one that the prophets have been talking about. So, although Nathanael first rejected the idea, he became convinced. He recognized the king. So, Jesus was a king at his birth. Jesus was a king at the beginning of his ministry. Jesus was a king at the ending of his ministry. John 12:13. They took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. It seems that for a little while at least, the people were convinced Jesus is king. It seemed they were ready to recognize the king. We're back in Jerusalem. It's 30-something years later. And when all, and going in Matthew 2, they reject this idea. But now they seem to be willing to accept this idea. But people are fickle. Their allegiance didn't last very long. So even though on Palm Sunday they're welcoming the King of Israel, soon they're crying, we have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. So even though it seemed they were ready to recognize the king once again was rejected. So he was a king at his birth. He was the king at the beginning of his ministry. He was the king at the end of his ministry. He was a king at his death. John 19:15. So they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, oh, we have no king but Caesar. Just like the chief priest has answered at Jesus' birth, we have no king but Herod. Right? Again, we see the irony here. It's a Roman official who recognizes Jesus. He's not Jewish. He's like the three magi. They recognized Jesus. They weren't Jewish, but the Jews would not. Pilate recognized Jesus, but the Jews would not. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They rejected Pilate's offer to let Jesus go free. And Pilate, much to his guilt, turned him over to be crucified. One of the surest signs of man's depravity is how they mocked Jesus as he was dying. Here's the one who had done only good who had preached a message of love, and they mocked him in his suffering. They called out, do you remember the story? They called out, if you're a king, save yourself. If you're the king, save yourself. They rejected the king, but some recognized him. Verse 19. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It is written, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. They rejected the king, but some recognized him. Ironically, again, it's not a Jew. The thief on his left prayed, asked, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Jesus. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognized Jesus as king. Jesus was a king at his birth. He was a king at the beginning of his ministry. He was the king at the end of his ministry, and he was a king at his death. Some rejected that idea. Some recognized it. Here's the most amazing thing. Jesus was a king after his death. Jesus was the king after his death. I told the story of Alfonso the 13th. The reason he was immediately born a king was that his dad, Alfonso the 12th, had died 6 months earlier. His dad ceased being king when he died. It's hard to rule from a grave. So he ceased being king when he died. But Jesus didn't cease being king when he died. He was a king after his death. Acts 17. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some of the brethren from the city authorities, before the city authorities, saying, now this is Paul's ministry, once again, he's caused a riot. These men who have upset the world have come here also. And Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, now here's what they said after Jesus had been crucified, after he died and had been buried, and we know raised again. But they said that there's another king, Jesus. Jesus. Again, this passage is significant because Jesus had been crucified years ago. What kind of threat is a dead king? Obviously, early Christians didn't believe Jesus was a dead king. They believed he was a living king. But the early church recognized Jesus as king. He was a king at his birth. He was a king when his ministry started. He was a king when his ministry was ended. He was a king at his death. He was a king after his death. Jesus is forevermore King of kings and Lord of lords. The battle rages today. Jesus, are you a king? The Bible proclaims and Christians believe that yes, Jesus is king. He is king. Christians are not to be among those who say we have no king but Caesar. Right? Christians are not to be among those who recognize an authority above Jesus. Jesus is king. But the debate rages. We recognize that. We accept Jesus is king. The world does not. The issue will be settled one day. A great world leader will arise and he will claim supreme authority. And he will gather a great army and engage the Lord's people in battle and then turn towards the Lord to engage him in battle. And what do we read in Revelation 17? These will wage war against the Lamb. The Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful. This great world leader will declare himself king of all the earth until he meets the king. King Jesus. King Jesus. At Christmas, we worship a baby who is a king. He's not just a man. He's more than a man. He's not just a king. He's King of Kings. Christians ought not to be so consumed with who's in office, but rather who's on the throne. He's not just a king. He's the King of Kings. He's not just Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. This is who we worship. This is what Christmas is about. It's not about the sweet little manger scene that you set up in your side yard or front yard. Those are great, maybe, but it's not about that. We're asked, as they were, is Caesar your king or is Jesus your king? Again, few people mind talking about the baby Jesus at Christmas time. But King Jesus demands a decision. Will you accept him? Will you recognize him? Or will you reject him? Let's pray. Now, Lord, I don't want us just to rush by this question because, you know, we're going to say, well, I'm a Christian, so I recognize that Jesus is king. Well, king of what? Where does he reign in your life, in our lives, God? Where does his kingship show up in our daily life? Where does his kingship show up in the way we think about our relationships or the way we thinking about our possessions or our time or our talent? Is there any proof that Jesus is our king, that we live in light of his reign? Yeah, we'd like to think about the old come up with all these great plans about when the second coming and Christ comes on his horse and he defeats all the other kings, and we look towards future things and end times. But Lord, what about today? What about tomorrow? I don't need to wait for Christ to come on a white horse. He's already come. He came at Christmas. So may we be among those who recognize Christ is not only King, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.